The miles are hard and the asks are awkward, but it's absolutely worth it. When I think about this past season and what Seattle faced and how much money was raised, I just want everyone who's running right now to be anticipating God to move in huge ways, huge and unexpected ways.
That was Danny Cole, our Team World Vision Director of Seattle. Take a deep breath and open up your stride as today we get to dig into the topic of fundraising with Danny and Brian Frazier, our Team World Vision Director of Hood to Coast. Both Seattle and Hood to Coast were already in training prior to COVID-19, and overnight their seasons flipped. No more group runs, race cancellations, and in the midst of a national shutdown, these teams continued to move their feet faithfully, and God has shown up big time. This year, so far, Hood to Coast and Seattle have raised over $1 million for water, sanitation, and hygiene, and nearly 800,000 of that has come in since COVID-19 was announced as a global pandemic. While there are rich stories of transformation that lie in training for a half marathon or a marathon, more times than not, the most powerful stories we hear come through the tensions and the awkwardness of fundraising. Author and theologian Henry Nouwen eloquently reminds us that fundraising is proclaiming what we believe in a way that we offer other people an opportunity to participate with us in our vision and mission. Fundraising is precisely the opposite of begging. This is LDR. Welcome Beyond the Walls with Team World Vision.
Who would be better to talk to than two key leaders in our movement, just about what you've seen God do this season in your teams and through your teams, but also maybe a little bit about what God's done in and through you as you've been a part of this movement as well as leading it. This year in Seattle, you guys had set $1 million goal, mm-hmm. and you were going after it, you know? And then when COVID struck, everything kind of, where are we and who are we and what are we doing? And you again set another God-sized goal. So in the midst of all of that happening, kind of what's the narrative that you were telling yourself? What were some of your initial thoughts as you set that big goal?
I can't tell you how many times I've thought, what am I thinking when I'm setting fundraising goals? I mean, when we set the $1 million goal for Seattle with my captains, it was an on your knees prayer. And then once COVID hit and we had to reset a goal, it was another moment of like, what am I thinking? But what I feel like what I always think about when I think about setting goals is I want to set a goal that's big enough for it to be a God story and not a Seattle story. So that when we look back at it, we don't say Seattle did this, it's God did this. That it gave an opportunity just for God to be glorified, really.
You know, I feel like she took a lot of the words right out of my mouth, that I am the same way in the sense that I do like to juggle the scientific or the numbers with the dreaming and the goals and the prayers. So I will look at, you know, what really can I expect out of my team per person. But at the same time, we need to be inspired. We need to have something far enough that it hurts and far enough that we don't believe it. And using Danny's words, it's got to be a God-sized goal. It's got to be a number. It's got to be an amount that says only God could do this. And so last year when we set the goal for $1 million for Hood to Coast, it was that same type of thing, to where we knew God could do it. We knew year after year we had never gotten to that type of level, but if we were obedient to His call, then He was going to move, whether it was, you know, in that we could or couldn't imagine. And we were ready to see Him show up, but it still hurt. So it was still big enough to where it hurt, and therefore worth it.
Yeah, when we step into these gaps, right, I think a lot of our runners will now want to know, where do these goals come from and how do we recalculate these goals? And you guys are talking about God-sized goals. Could either of you speak to a little bit about our commitments to the field and the pandemic and how that affects our goals and why our impact matters, why our miles matter so much right now?
I'd love to answer your question right now, especially as in Hood to Coast, we're in the thick of things right now in the pandemic, and South Sudan is the country that we fundraise for specifically. And right now there are 1,300 healthcare facilities that don't even have access to basic hygiene and hand washing facilities in the country. So you kind of extrapolate that. Obviously, South Sudan being at the lower end of the spectrum in terms of development than many of the other countries that we're fundraising for. But when you're thinking that healthcare facilities themselves and many of the communities that we serve, local healthcare facilities there are just having basic access to proper hygiene and hand washing facilities, the shush or the SH of the wash that we're fundraising for, the sanitation and hygiene portion, plays such a large part in prevention of not only COVID-19 or coronavirus, but so many other viruses and communicable diseases. Putting in preventative measures for these types of things, for a long time, we just didn't realize it. And so we couldn't play a more important role at this time to help empower our field offices to be able to pivot and focus in on the portion of WASH and really attack these preventative measures.
Has there been times this season that God's really surprised you? And if so, when was that, or what was that like?
Yeah, God has surprised me in a lot of huge ways, but one of the ways that he surprised me this year was in my own just personal prayer life. Back in January when we were building this team and we had no idea what was coming, God put on my spirit Gideon. And Gideon was a man who had a huge army, and God dwindled his army all the way down to 300 to go and defeat the Midianites. And I didn't really understand it at the time. I'm like, why am I praying for a Gideon-like army? Why am I praying for a small but mighty team? Like, that makes no sense when you look at Team World Vision culture. And here I was in January before our team was built, praying for a Gideon-like team. And so, you know, January came, the team was built, and the team was not what Seattle would consider to be a small team. It was a growing large team. And I just thought, okay, well, that was weird. God, I don't know why you had me praying for that, but all right. You know, so we forged ahead with around 500 runners, and all of a sudden, obviously COVID-19 hit. And the race was canceled on April 30th. And then on May 1st, we launched our next event, the 7-day 6K. And we asked people to recommit. And 330 people committed. I mean, the size of that Gideon army that God had me praying for back in January when this made absolutely no sense. And that Gideon-sized army, those 330 people, went on to raise $397,000 after COVID hit. I mean, this is like, we're in the pandemic and they went and raised almost $400,000. We're $2,000 away from hitting $550,000, which was the goal that we set launching the 7-day 6K. But God just shocked me in that. I mean, it was one of those, like, this makes no sense, God. Why would I be praying for a small team? And he was just so faithful. You know, he had already laid that on my heart that I was going to be leading a small team this year. And it was just miraculous.
Yeah. Brian, has there been any times this season so far that God's really shown up and surprised you or any of your runners this season?
Yeah. You know, I think when you go in and the changes that we've made to Hood to Coast this year and the pivots and just the uncertainty that we all have, you generally hope for the best, expect the worst. You're going in, you're not really sure what's going to happen. And I have been so encouraged by the resiliency of our team, where most of our team has stayed on. We've added an a bunch of other folks who are saying, wow, okay, this is now, you guys are doing something really cool here. I want to be a part of this, where I couldn't necessarily get on an airplane and go to Portland and do it, where people are resilient. They're ready and waiting. They're just waiting for that word of encouragement, positivity, being part of a winning team or a winning idea. There's so much discouragement out there. There's so much negativity out there in the world around us, that we're inviting people in to do something really special and be on this winning team. And who doesn't want to be a part of that right now?
So throughout fundraising this season, fundraising is always scary. What key tips would you share in the midst of these God stories that you've seen unfold for runners that are moving their feet right now, that are in the middle of the fear of fundraising?
So I love this question. I wanted this question answered myself from Megan Birch, and she was one of the runners that had the most single donations, meaning she had gone out and got a whole bunch of $50 donations and $100 donations. She wasn't the one out there landing, you know, the $5,000 donations. So she was just grinding away. So I called her and I was like, Megan, what are you doing? Like, how are you doing this? And her answer shocked me. She said, I'm doing what I've always done before. Nothing has changed. She said, you have trained us, you have equipped us to fundraise. And that holds true during the pandemic. And so having her expand on that, I said, well, tell me more, you know, what does that mean? And she said, direct asks, emails, phone calls, and Facebook and Instagram posts. She's like, just keep doing what you've always done. That the training is there, the resources are there, and just go for it. And she said, the one thing that she did slightly adjust is, we've talked so much about, you know, water, sanitation, and hygiene, but we've really focused on water in the previous years. And she said this year, she just really focused on the sanitation, the hygiene, and the importance of having access to clean water to wash your hands. But I will tell you that I was shocked. I was expecting some sort of a magic bullet. I was expecting some secret sauce, and there was nothing different that she was doing. So I was actually really inspired and encouraged by that.
And that's a word, and it's really in a very similar place to where I and our group of Hood to Coasters are at right now. And if you're hovering or you're waiting for figuring out if people are going to donate or not, we never got to decide, and we don't get to decide who can donate right now and who can't. You know, if we look into the biblical foundation of this too, when God told Jonah to go out and preach repentance to the city of Nineveh, and he didn't do it, and then finally does after all these trials and tribulations, and it only took a short word to the people of Nineveh, who are from all walks of life, to hear the word and repent. God didn't call him to give that word to just a few and pick and choose, or he never got to pick and choose. It was just being obedient to God's calling. And God has called us to plead on behalf of others. We have no idea who's ready to support us and who's not. It's simply our job to ask. And so we just keep doing, like Danny said, keep doing what we've been doing this whole time. And we're not the ones who get to decide who's going to be a part of it and who isn't. If we don't start the direct asks early and often in our season, and we put them off till later, then we're not going to be able to build that momentum that we need in order to make a huge impact. You've got to make people aware of what you're doing, and that you're crazy about this thing, and that they want to be a part of your winning team. And that once they see that you're legit, that you're all in on this, that you're not backing down and you're not going away, then they're going to support you.
So Brian, for background, people that don't know anything about Hood to Coast, could you tell us a bit about Hood to Coast?
I would love to invite them to run Hood to Coast someday. You know, a lot of people have heard of Lopez. Danny has shared about his book, and you know, Lopez Lemong was a former lost boy from South Sudan. He lived in the Kakuma refugee camp for over 10 years as an orphan. He went on to become adopted by American parents and went on to be an amazing all-American national champion track star and still is, still out there racing, hoping to get to run to Tokyo someday, and an ambassador for kids and communities in South Sudan. And so Lopez, you know, he approaches World Vision. He's really excited for our work and wants us to do an event, and that raises funds for clean water programs. And so we said, well, why don't we do the event at near your home in Portland? And we've always wanted to do this Hood to Coast race. It's so much fun. And he was really stoked for it. And so Hood to Coast is the oldest relay race in North America, where they have about 1,500 teams of 12 people running 200 miles from Mount Hood, where the snow is on the ground, all the way out to Seaside, Oregon, and ready to put their feet in the Pacific. Summer camp for adults, but you get to run on a team, and where you don't finish without relying on each other to get out to the finish line. It is a ton of fun. Plus, we have a lot of Lopez's friends who are also former or current professional athletes, world record holders, Olympic medalists, who get to go out and be honorary captains and drive the vans or even run the race with us. So it is the most fun race that we do at World Vision. I know I'm a little guided towards that, but it's true. And we've raised over $4.9 million to date since the first year we did it in 2013. And I have the privilege of being one of the few people that have done it every single year. And it was the event that got me into Team World Vision in the first place too. So it's a big part of my kind of running testimony with Team World Vision.
So what are your least favorite parts of fundraising?
Yeah, you know, fundraising is this love-hate thing. It's going to be that way for everyone. You know, you hate the no's, or you hate the no answer on the other end of the phone metaphor, you know, of you've put out the asks and you're not getting the answers. And those are desert places that God wants us to be in, because you don't get to enjoy the oasis. You don't get to enjoy the gift unless you've been without. And so it's a journey that I'm still looking forward to. It's still a place I enjoy, even though it's uncomfortable and I don't like it. I don't know how that works. But when the donations come and you see God enter in, or maybe he's entering in and just ministering to me when I'm in that desert place, and that's still all worth it. The journey is all worth it.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to say this as eloquently as Brian just did, but I will tell you that even though I know it is necessary and I continue to do it, I still hate direct asks. It is still so awkward every single time. Like, I wish I could say that is where I thrived, but I hate it. I hate it. I'll be standing at a barbecue with some friends and kind of start telling my story, and I make that ask, and it is awkward every time. And I've had people straight up say no. I've had people say, yeah, absolutely, send me the link. You know, I've had times where it's very successful, and I'll get, you know, I'm 9 people over and 7 people will sponsor a kid, and that's amazing. But I've had other times where everyone just kind of quickly changes the subject. But what I do know is you just have to continue to be obedient. And this entire ministry is about stepping beyond fear, right? Like, that's what we were all invited to, is you see your fear, you know that God has something great for you on the other side of that fear. So you just have to see it, acknowledge it, and step through it. And so I feel like every time I make that direct ask, I'm just trying to be obedient in that and continuing to step beyond my fear and, you know, and hopeful and anticipating what God has on the other side of it.
What is your most favorite thing about fundraising?
Yeah, I think it would be easy to say when that big donation comes in, that's your favorite thing. But to be honest, those are not necessarily in and of themselves the times that I'm crying. The times that I'm crying are when the person I least expected comes in and does something that I never would have guessed or expected. It could be $2. It could be $20,000. It doesn't matter. and you put the ask out there. This is, you know, I've had a couple cases of just people that should not be donating. I had no financial business in donating to what I'm doing. Single moms, you know, a family member of mine who is taking care of a disabled spouse, and they just should not be doing that. And there they are, living a life of sacrifice that extends far beyond my life. And I am challenged. I am personally convicted that I need to look in the mirror and do, God needs to do some big stuff in me.
Yeah, I have to agree with Brian. And but I would also say, I love when someone donates and I have no clue who they are. I mean, I once had my sister's husband's aunt donate, and I don't even know how she found out or what was happening. And I had to, you know, when you're on Facebook and you're literally trying to research who just donated, I don't even know this person. Like, that is just such a cool moment. And when you realize that this is so much bigger than you, than your own personal journey, than your own personal fundraising, that God is doing things that you don't even see, right? But I have to tell you, when I get that little text message that says someone donated, it's like, no matter what is happening, it doesn't matter if I'm in a serious debate, if I'm in a meeting, if I'm in a movie, my world stops for just a minute. And I see that someone donated, you know, that somebody took time to find my page, to put their own personal money on it. And I just take a moment to rejoice and to pray and to say thank you and to reach out to them. But those dang text messages, I love them so much.
That's mine, man. When you get that text message, a Team World Vision text is literally saying somebody's alive on the other side of the world because of someone else's generosity, whether it be the widow's mite or, you know, a mountain moving donation. They're all moving mountains. They're all changing lives. And that God used me somehow to help that happen. What's been your favorite donation or most surprising donation? Because mine came from a woman who I went to high school with. She was a year older than me. We'd grown up together, but not super good friends. You know, we just overlapped in social circles, classes, athletics, things like that. Non-Christian. I got that ding a day before a race. I looked down, opened my page, and saw it was Stephanie. And she wrote on my page, "I don't like the church, and I surely don't believe in Jesus. But if this is what you guys are about, I can get behind that." And I just thought, for nothing else, like you said, it's just so much bigger. It's so much bigger than us. So what's your favorite donation story, most surprising donation story?
I have a close friend who she is a part of our church here and has, you know, single mom, has seven kids still at home. Still one has grown up and left the house, and, you know, she's three jobs, and the life that she gives others is nonstop. Her energy levels are far beyond anything I can dream of. And yet I know what she should be doing and what she shouldn't be doing when it comes to where that money could be going. And to know that when she gave a donation that was just far and above what most people give, far and above what most people with who make far more than she does and do not have the financial challenges that she does. And for her to she and I had to have a talk afterward and just say, "What are you? Are you crazy?" She's like, "Yeah, I'm crazy," and that blew me away and changed me.
My favorite donation came from one of my husband's high school buddies. It was my first year leading a city, and it was my first year fundraising, my first year taking on a half marathon. I mean, it was a year of firsts, and you know, I was terrified to be going after a $10,000 goal, and it was race weekend. We had just finished team lunch. I was exhausted, and I remember I'd found somewhere to put my feet up, and that text message came through, that beautiful text message, and This came from somebody I hadn't seen since my wedding day. I mean, it had been 9 years since I had seen this guy. James and I, we weren't talking to him a whole lot, and just out of nowhere, this large donation came in, and it's still my single largest donation I've ever received. But I'm telling you, to receive that encouragement when it felt like I was running on fumes, I'll never forget it. And, you know, I didn't even know that he knew what I was doing or what I was fundraising for. And we took him out for sushi, of course, later after everything had calmed down. And he just said that he was just excited to support the organization, excited to support World Vision and to bring kids clean water and to support us. But yeah, it was, it's just a moment I'll never forget. It just filled my empty tank for sure.
Well, do you have any parting words, encouragements for the team, you know, directly for them as they're moving their feet, as they're facing their fears? These miles are getting longer and the humidity is real and the heat is full, it's on, right? The temperature is up. Any encouragement for our runners?
I think one from me is, leaders rise up to the challenge. If you're here and you're listening today, then it means that you're going to be one of the ones that rises up and comes through for the kingdom. Everything that LDR has challenged us to, all God wants is obedience, and he's going to do the rest. The fact that you're here, that you're present, means that you're ready to follow his lead, and that's enough. That's all we need.
Yeah, I would just say, remember that these are real people that we're moving our feet for, that I know it can seem distant, can seem far away, but I was just reminded today of a woman I met in Moyo, Zambia. Her name was Agnes, and Agnes was a nurse at a clinic, and she was the only nurse, the only staff person. There were no doctors, and she was serving 80 people a day by herself, 7 days a week for years, 80 people. And she had no access, direct access to clean water. She had to walk about 10 minutes to go get water from a well. But there were times where she would deliver multiple babies in a row and not be able to wash her hands between deliveries. Not be able to wash her hands. Like, these are real people. World Vision came along and came to the leadership in her community, and they said, you know, we said, what can we do? How can we help? And they said, we want you to meet Agnes. And when World Vision met with Agnes, you know, again, we just said, what can we do? And she said, we need water. If you will bring the water, the government will bring a building, they will bring staff, they will bring resources, but they can't do anything until we have water. In World Vision, we came alongside them and we helped bring water to this clinic. And now today they have a maternity ward where people can stay, or women can stay, for up to a month before they have their children. There is an immunization clinic, there is electricity, there is just normal hospital services. And I mean, when we were sitting at $338,000 and we set that $500,000 goal, $550,000 goal, I had absolutely no idea if we could get there. I had no idea what was going to happen. And right now we're sitting at $548,000 raised. I mean, that's miraculous. God is going to move through whatever size team you have, through every donation, through every step. Like, God is going to move. And I think you need to anticipate that.
God, open our eyes to see the world as you see it. Break our hearts with what breaks yours, and empty us of all but love. We pray for your irreversible breakthrough in our lives, our families, our teams, and in our impact. We pray for irreversible breakthrough for every person, every child, and every community that receives this water. Will you remind us that these miles are not in vain, but that you are using them for so much more? If you enjoyed the podcast, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and share. Thanks for running with us. See you next week.